Hello and welcome back to USBR Guest Cybersecurity Tips. I'm Theo, here to help you break down cybersecurity news and hacks and how they affect you. Today's episode covers the Russia-Ukraine cyber attacks. I'm joined by Stefan, a university student working in the industry. He's the owner of the Tech Hatters Discord. We'll add a link in the notes for you to be able to get to it. Stefan, how you doing?
Good to you. Thank you. How are you?
Good. How is the weather there? That's my initial question, wherever you are.
It's interesting. Last week it was sunny. This week has been mainly snowing-ish and bad windy weather.
Okay.
But now it's back to sunny, so...
I was wondering who else was still going through winter. I can't stand it. I'm ready for it to be over. I am over it. Winter. I'm tagging out.
No, it's just weird.
It is. It's this cold this late. But what we decided to do with this one was, instead of me just running down my notes and asking you questions, we both pulled together some articles from whatever we've seen been going on over there with Ukraine and Russia. We have these articles, we'll ping pong off each other, and then we could talk about, you know, how we feel about things and moves fast, moves slow, whatever it is that, whatever happens here. But as you being the guest, you get honors. So one of the first things that I wanted to ask you about was, and I couldn't find the link, but the 400,000 volunteers in regard to when the war broke out there between Russia and Ukraine. So the 400,000 volunteers in Ukraine, do you think that's a high or a low number based on the size of their country?
Just for the cyber army, I would say that it's a really high number. Maybe a bit too much, as I would say they don't need 400,000 cyber specialists to protect. Well, what's your opinion on it? Do you think that number is true?
Well, when I first looked at it, I was like, God, that seems low. But, I didn't dig into the overall demographics of Ukraine. How many people actually live there? Do you know that off the top of your head?
No.
It seems high. It does seem high.
Yeah. Just in terms of ID specialists.
Right. Yeah, I think so, too. So the next thing that we have just real quick is, so the link you sent me was for Squad 303, and that's what I have on the screen. Can you tell me a little bit about it before I just go ahead and just read off of what's on the screen from them?
I found this one from 9gag, which is a memes platform.
Okay.
And they were asking for support on just texting Russian citizens and making them aware of what's going on. Now you can go ahead and read off the screen.
Sure. It's interesting. They we the people of the world have a message to the Russian nation. And it goes on to blast them pretty hard. A nation that is to pay a huge price because of the shameful decision of the dictator to attack the independent Ukraine by armed forces. The Squad 303 gives you a tool to send text messages directly from your phones directly to a randomly selected Russians. If you click through to send SMS, it brings you another screen where it looks like at the top, it rotates through all these different, it must be Russian numbers. And then this text here that reads in Russian, my Russian's a little rusty, but if I take it through Google Translate, friend, during a news program on Channel 1, editor Maria, and I'll butcher that, said that the Kremlin is lying about the war in Ukraine. I don't regret calling the war a war. Find it on Yandex, which I'm not familiar with, and can we discuss
Yandex
this?
Yandex is the Google for Eastern Europe or Russia in general.
Okay. put it on Yandex. Okay, yeah. So you know, majority of Russians or Eastern Europeans, they would use that as we'd use Google even, right? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a search engine.
Okay. Do you think this is safe? Have you used it, or you just found it interesting?
I found it interesting. I have not used it.
Okay.
As not sure how to feel about it, especially also with the numbers. Where did they get the numbers? They're not showing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
then it becomes as in, could they sell my data if each one of their numbers, let's say, is just a big scam and my number gets pulled on to be sold?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, much like anything on the internet where you're supplying your information to, if it's free, you're the product.
Exactly.
I didn't really dig through it, but yeah, I found it, you know, I found it interesting to say the least that you take this message and send it off and spam it out to just random Russian numbers. But
it is interesting. I don't know if it's the way to do it.
Right. Has Squad 303 popped up before anywhere, or is this the first time you've seen them?
It was just a 9 gag. They're not that big, I do believe.
Okay. So the next thing I wanted to take a look at was one of the links I found was tracking cyber operations and actors in the Russian-Ukraine war. This is on the website Council on Foreign Relations. Per the article, it appears that Russia is attacking Ukraine more with cyber warfare. What do you think? Is it just perception? Is it the only thing that's on the radar, and Ukraine is a little bit under the radar? Or what do you think about that?
So we're talking about UNC 1151.
Yep, that was one of the first. Or Whispergate was one of the first ones. Hermetic Wiper, Isaac Wiper, UNC 1151. And then APT-28, Caddy Wiper, Garmageddon, 00. But then you pro-Ukraine only had a few down here. Anonymous, IT Army of Ukraine, Belarus Cyber Partisans, RU Ransomware Wiper. So what they're reporting on is it looks like, you know, just many more attacks by Russia than what they're reporting what pro-Ukraine is what they're doing.
Yeah, it seems so. I don't think they would be open to share, honestly, what they have. If they have any 0 days, for example,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't risk disclosing those. And they also have Anonymous on their side.
Yes. Anonymous has been very busy. Which some of the other links that... and you'll see, because I ran out of links. So you have a couple extra ones with how busy Anonymous has been. So
they've been busy.
Yes, they have. The next one that you had sent over was Independent. About Anonymous broadcast infamous troll face on Russian military radio. Now, you tell me a little bit about the article, because, you know, this isn't like AM/FM over here in the States where I'm like trying to find my 90s R&B. Like, this is a different kind of, like, almost sounds like, yeah, military radio, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And that right there, I don't know. You're going to post this article for the others to see?
Yeah. Yep. I will. Yep.
Awesome. So what you can see on that image is most likely a signal detector. So you can visually see signals. And that's how that was done.
Okay. So it seems like this is probably lower hanging fruit. It's not like they're going after television stations that I imagine are locked down pretty good or over
it's
there.
It's a troll face. So
right.
It's just for the memes.
So this could have been like, you know, one of the anonymous interns. They finally got something to work.
Yes.
God, okay. The next thing they had was Whispergate and second data wiper attack. So the reason why I brought these up is because I thought it was interesting. Data wipers. I would almost think that Russia would want to go over, take control of computers, let alone, but not completely wipe them out. So what are your thoughts on that? You know what I mean? I would think they would want to go over and control the information, not just wipe it out. That's what has me confused about these, about the amount of data wipers that Russia is using on Ukraine.
No, I can understand your point of view, but this, it's not the 80s anymore. The levels of encryption have increased. So if they really succeed how they did in Crimea, it'd be easier just to start over instead of trying to decrypt everything.
Okay. That makes sense. Instead of going over there and taking control of these computers that are encrypted and, you know, that are going to be next to impossible to decrypt, it's easy to just wipe them out and then you know they can put whatever they need to on them, probably.
Yes, they can have their own systems in place. It would just save time.
The next thing you had was, so the Anonymous again has joined the fight. And an article in the Sun, hack attack, Anonymous claims it's hacked Central Bank of Russia, threatens to release files and secret agreements in 48 hours. So we talked briefly about this before we hopped on here. They have been released.
I did manage to find a link.
Okay.
Maybe you'll be able to. I think I got that from Twitter.
And just put it in. Did you send it over or no?
No.
Okay.
At the moment.
Oh, wait. A hacking team's alleged attack on Twitter. Wednesday evening.
So, yes, what intrigued me about that, it was they said they're going to give out 48 hours before releasing the data. And then on Twitter, I found some links to mega.nz, which is used for data dumps.
Okay.
But the data that was on there looked very scarce, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem complete in a way, as it was picked through before it was uploaded. That's
okay.
What has me with those 48 hours.
Anything could have happened probably with that data. I mean, they could have sold bits of it before they had sent it out, or they could have probably, maybe they've redacted certain things out of fear of too much information being put out there. My initial question was, what's so important about these documents? Why do you think they were picked apart, or why do you think they were incomplete, or do you think it just was botched that they didn't get exactly what they needed to or what they wanted to out of hacking that central bank?
Well, on the documents, one of them that I had to look, it was apparently the name and account from a small shop owner. So I don't think they got anything too interesting out of it. So they might have just given up, gotten rid of, you know, some information, or tried to go for the big fish in there.
Okay. The next thing we have is The good old White House had information on they call it fact sheet, act now to protect against potential cyber attacks. You know, information here about solidarity between the G7 countries or whatever. But then in the middle here, which is most alarming for me, we urge companies to execute the following steps. They're in here is multi-fact, you know, asking companies to step up multi-factor authentication, deploying modern security tools, check with cybersecurity professionals that your systems are patched, back up your data, run exercise drills, educate your employees. I mean, this is all stuff. This is all low-hanging fruit for companies. I mean, I'm alarmed at the fact that this is the list. I'm alarmed that this is the list. This stuff should be done and taken care of by now. So, what are your thoughts on that? Because you're not in, you don't have to necessarily tell me, but you're not in the States though, right, Stefan?
No.
No. Okay. So how do you feel about seeing this from a different country?
It's surprising. Honestly, the multi-factor authenticator, backups, checking with cybersecurity professionals to see if the systems are patched, and then the end users don't want to update their Windows.
Yes, so that's right.
That's a bit of a clash.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, data encryption is... Should I even go on?
No, I mean...
Yeah, go on.
I was just gonna say, I just agree with you. I think it's funny but scary at the same time that there's that this is the kind of list that the White House here puts out. That stuff that should have been taken care of forever ago. Not all companies are like this, but if they're putting out a list like this, that means a lot are still unprotected like this. So.
I mean, did you see the video of in Russia where Anonymous, I think it was, or some hacker group took over receipt printing machine and started printing Western propaganda against Putin, you know, for example?
No, I didn't see it. Like receipt printers that were going to what, like restaurants or just, like...
Yes.
Okay.
And just printing the same message about Putin.
Mm-hmm.
So most likely that could happen in the States as well.
Yep. It's alarming. That was alarming for me. The next one that we have is Anonymous claims that his hacked Central Bank of Russia, threatens to release files of secret ingredients.
We already talked about this.
Yeah, that's about right.
What do you have now?
I'm looking through it. Offline. Oh, Anonymous hacks Russia again, leaks 340,000 files in attempt to stop Putin's war propaganda campaign. So again, Anonymous. And one question I wanted to ask before, or while we're talking about this too, is where is this group? Anonymous, as far as I understood it, decentralized group. That yes. Makes it even right, even harder to pin down exactly who or what's running the show. So, so what are these files that they're talking about? And I'm not familiar with. I'll butcher it when I find the name. Roskomnadzor. Terrible.
I'm not sure about that one. I think I had it in my notes.
Mm-hmm. The anti-establishment group targeted.
Okay.
The Russian.
So,
okay. All right.
I found it in my notes. Roskomnadzor is allegedly the Russian agency that is responsible for monitoring and censorship Russian media.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense why they're going after him. Okay. So these files that they're leaking. Okay, they're involved in the problem. Okay, so these are things written up meant to sway public sentiment over there in Russia, right?
Yes.
Okay, got it. I love how Anonymous released files on their Substack, called it the distributed email of secrets. I love how they come up with these names, make things sound dramatic. I mean, it is dramatic over there right now, but I love how they name stuff too. You were able to find this link, and I don't think I pulled it up. I'm going to grab it real quick. On The Verge, about at the beginning and onset of this, what was going on over there. For the first couple of weeks, I was able to watch the Snapchat heat map over in Ukraine. You know, when it first started, people were still hanging out in their houses. And then a week in, you know, everyone's down in subways, you know, creating makeshift bunkers out of them down there. And then Snapchat turns off that heat map. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, it was nice to see what was going on over there. You know, how do you feel about what is happening with what Snapchat decided to do regarding this?
I have to say, Snapchat did it to protect themselves and protect the user base.
Mm-hmm.
Because would you agree with me? If not, you would not want your user base knowing that you have young kids that can use your application to see war scenes.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. Yeah, that makes sense.
So that is the main reason why they would do it.
And imagine now that I'm sitting thinking about it a little bit more, that Russia could even use that data also to see exactly where people are.
Of course they
could. Yeah, that'd be awful. It's just awful. And the last link I had, and correct me if I'm wrong or if there's something else you want to cover, Anonymous, again, they are very busy. They've stated that the hacking, Anonymous said that Russian officials have no more control over their spy satellites. So they've essentially hacked their space agency in Russia.
Yes, Roscosmos.
Okay.
And it makes you thinking, how old is some of the technology over there? If Anonymous, at the end of the day, is a decentralized group, it's maybe 10 people at the same time pulling an attack, working together, maybe even less than 10, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So how many flaws do those systems have that it's so easy for them to just get in everywhere?
That's an excellent point. I mean, there's got to be a lot of satellites that are up there that have been up there for a while, maybe working on outdated stuff. But all the equipment down here that's controlling those, you would think, would be pretty up to date or have new technology protecting them.
You would, or you'd think that you'd have people working on securing them all the time and having active defenders, you know?
Right.
Or something like that.
Because once a satellite is rendered useless, right, don't they just let that stuff drift off into space? Not like, I don't know what the program is, but if you're able to pull it down, you're probably able to send it out. And my point with that is that, okay, Anonymous gets in there and you know, they turn the thrusters the other way, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure if they did that. I don't think so, but they should have done that.
They should have done that, right. Yeah. that's all I could find between our two links. Did I miss something else that you wanted to go over, Stefan?
Did you see about Putin's Super Yacht, how he was renamed?
I did miss that. Let me pull it up here real quick.
You gonna find any? No, that was a different one, what you were looking at. Apparently he has multiple.
There it is. I mean, this won't be the exact same article you had, but...
it's the title.
Hackers changed the call sign of Putin's linked superyacht to FCKPTN and set the ship's destination as hell. That's a classic trolley move. It really is. How do you feel about this? Do you think this is a waste of resources, or do you think it was it did what it was intended to do?
It's not a waste of resources at all. I can't imagine how mad Putin would have been about that. Just it shows when he spent, I don't even know how much money he spent on that yacht, and just to show how weak it is in terms of security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
And it shows anything can be hacked.
Anything can be hacked. Yep. All right. Well, Creed, I called you by your online name there. Stefan,
yeah.
Thank you very much for the time. I appreciate being able to talk to you and ping pong, this kind of stuff off you. A little side note before, we ended here. We already did this once. So I wanted to thank Creed on the podcast specifically. I was mute the first time. So I appreciate you coming back and chatting with me about it again there, Stefan. Thank you.
No problem.
I will put a link to your Discord and anything else we can think of in the show notes. Thank you again, Stefan. That's all for today's episode. If you have a topic you would like me to cover, drop me a line at anchor.fm/USBOG or email me at usbrguest@gmail.com. If I've helped you in any way, please consider telling friends or family about the podcast or rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you use to listen. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.